peace with God.
Some of us tend to drive faster than we realize. Some of us have teenagers who drive faster than they should. For all of that, some cars have an alarm you can set that will go off if the driver exceeds a certain speed. Well, God has wired a similar system into your heart. It's called a conscience.
God has placed within every one of us something that cries aloud against us whenever we do something wrong.
Billy Graham has much more to tell you about your conscience on today's edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and also on today's program, Ann Graham Lotz says if you're a Christian, you're being watched.
Often it's someone we don't even know is watching. But you and I can count on the fact that one reason God allows us to have problems is so we can demonstrate to a watching world how we respond.
Don't miss the rest of Ann's teaching coming up right after her dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Let's get started now with today's message. It's titled Conscience, and it comes from Billy Graham's 1978 crusade in Memphis, Tennessee.
Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to Mark, the sixth chapter of Mark, starting at verse 14. These words, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad." He was hearing of Jesus. All the things that Jesus was doing, making the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, and even raising the dead, and King Herod heard about it. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. They said, "You've made a mistake. His name's not Jesus, it's John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. I killed John the Baptist. When Salome danced in front of me, I was so taken with her dancing that I promised her anything in my whole kingdom. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist to be brought on a platter. And I regretted it. I like John the Baptist, even though I didn't agree with some of the things he was saying, and especially when he accused me of adultery. But I didn't want to have to kill him, but I had made a promise in front of all my lords and ladies and all the heads of state that I would give this girl anything she wanted, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist, so I had to send an executioner to go and bring his head. And I know he's risen from the dead. That's the only explanation for this man that's going around the country now and who has become very famous. They call him Jesus, but actually he's John the Baptist. Why did Herod say that? He said it because his conscience was killing him. All he could think about, night and day, was that head, that bloody head of John the Baptist that he had had brought on a platter because a girl had performed a sensual dance for him and gotten his passions all aroused. Man gives himself up. A few weeks ago, I read about in the paper, he had committed a murder 30 years ago. His conscience would not leave him alone, and he was driven by his conscience to give himself up after 30 years. Charles IX of Spain, who was the murderer of so many Christians, once said to his doctor, he said, "Doctor, for months I've been in a fever, physically and spiritually. If only I had spared the innocent, the weak-minded, and the cripples." Charles II could not sleep except a priest, and 2 monks were in his bedroom every night. Richard III, the murderer of his 2 nephews, often got up at night and took his sword and fought with what he thought was spirits of his 2 nephews that had come back. And the Bible is filled with stories like that. Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God and they broke God's law, they went and hid themselves and clothed themselves with fig leaves because they saw their nakedness for the first time. Why? Because for the first time they had a conscience, and their conscience bothered them. Esau sold his birthright with profane indifference. And yet, what he would not have given years afterwards could he have changed his father's mind. With all the tears and all the begging, Esau couldn't get his birthright back, and his conscience drove him almost mad. Or Ahab. He made a statement in 1 Kings 21:20, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he was talking to Elijah, and he and Elijah had just separated as friends a few weeks earlier. But in the meantime, King Ahab had killed Naboth in order to steal his vineyard. Naboth wouldn't sell the vineyard, so he had him murdered. And now Ahab is so driven by his conscience that that's all he can think about is the murder of his neighbor. Judas, in the very moment of his great success in selling Jesus and betraying Jesus, fell into such deep remorse, driven by his conscience. Felix, the great judge in whom the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to him, trembled, driven by conscience. And that brings us to the question, what is our conscience? Every one of us has a conscience. What is it? It's not easy to define. Romans 2:15 says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Someone has said that conscience is a personal, vigilant eye before which every imagination, thought, and act is held up to censure or prove. What about your conscience? God has placed within every one of us something that cries aloud against us whenever we do something wrong, especially when we're young, before our conscience gets hardened or seared or it dies. But conscience is the moral judiciary of the soul. And conscience does not lay down a law, but warns of the existence of a law. Think about that a moment. Conscience warns you that there is a moral law. That moral law is expressed verbally by God in the Ten Commandments. It is also expressed verbally by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. These are laws, and conscience is put within you to tell you when you're breaking one. Conscience is in the heart of every one of us, and most of us go against our conscience time after time, and in a moment I'll show you how we pay for it. Because the Bible speaks of several kinds of conscience. First, there's the evil conscience. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In another place, the Bible talks about the defiled conscience. Titus 1:15, "Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." You can have an evil conscience and a defiled conscience. And here is the thing that shakes me about these scriptures. The very thing that tells us when we are knowingly wrong itself becomes debauched like a little bell that is supposed to ring and give us a clear note becomes cracked so that its note will be false. And it's true when you reject the voice of conscience time after time after time after time, after a while the voice of conscience itself becomes defiled and becomes evil and gives you the wrong signals. Because you see, your conscience will begin calling evil good. It'll call good evil. It'll put darkness for light and light for darkness. And it will say that bitter is sweet and that sweet is bitter. It becomes evil itself. When you go against your conscience time after time, there comes a point, a dividing line, when your conscience is no longer reliable at all. In fact, it'll lead you in the wrong direction. And when you've reached that point, you have reached a very dangerous situation in your life. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, have no more conscience of sins. In other words, there's a possibility that you can destroy your conscience. The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, talks about people that have a conscience that have been seared with a hot iron, like a branding iron. Your conscience seared. Your conscience has been driven away as a friend and a counselor, and comes back in the form of remorse. You see, God put it in your heart to help you and to guide you through life.
One of the ways your conscience guides you through life is by helping you realize your need for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Billy Graham will tell you more about that in just a moment. You can also learn more about beginning a relationship with Jesus at our website, peacewithgodradio.org. Just click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. If you'd rather talk with someone, just give us a call. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Many of us can relate to this challenging parental moment.
My daughter's just found a photo album from when I was in college to attest to the fact that I didn't live the life that I hope my daughters are able to live.
Jeannie's old life began at the beginning.
I wasn't raised with a biblical worldview.
But since then, and since college, Jeannie came to Christ. So now, as a mom with young kids,
I see the cultural influences in the media and on billboards and in shopping malls.
All of which call Jeannie to help her family keep focused on Christ.
It's so countercultural, and it's so helpful to not go down those, you know, the avenue Satan has. There's one narrow road, and there's a bunch of very wide avenues that Satan has.
Countercultural. Yeah. That's what followers of Christ have always been. So, are you taking your stand? Go to billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. billygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. This is President's Day weekend, and Fox News commentator Todd Starnes says there's a good reason to take a day to honor the highest elected office in the country.
You know, I believe more than anything else that the President of the United States embodies leadership, and strong leadership, I believe, results in a strong nation.
Todd says because it's been a strong nation, the United States is in the unique position of being able to influence other nations around the world. That's one reason Todd believes it's important for U.S. presidents not to lose sight of American history.
We are a nation founded with Christian values and principles, and every bit of our government is flavored by those Christian traditions.
Throughout American history, presidents have sought spiritual counsel. One of the men who's provided that counsel since 1950 has been Billy Graham. He's met with every U.S. president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. Todd Starnes says that's a tradition that speaks volumes.
Having Billy Graham in the White House, in the Oval Office, having those presidents attend those crusades, I think was just a reminder, sort of reinforced this notion, this idea, that we are a nation that embraces our Christian heritage.
You can learn more about Billy Graham's relationship with U.S. presidents at peacewithgod.org. That's peacewithgod.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Today on Peace with God, Billy Graham's teaching about your conscience. And right now, he's warning against allowing your conscience to become hardened.
The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, talks about people that have a conscience that have been seared with a hot iron, like a branding iron. Your conscience seared. Your conscience has been driven away as a friend and a counselor, and comes back in the form of remorse. You see, God put it in your heart to help you and to guide you through life. and your conscience has told you not to tell that lie, not to go to that place that you went the other night. And you did it anyway. Told you not to disobey your parents, but you did. And so you make your conscience harder and harder and harder. You see, the Holy Spirit uses the conscience to convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit uses the conscience to draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, no, 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 no. And after a while, your heart gets harder and 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 harder. God still loves you. God wants to forgive you. It's still not too late for anyone here. But I do know people, very brilliant theologians, who think that there's a line beyond which you can go in which you can no longer be saved. You become a reprobate with a reprobate mind, so hardened that you cannot come to Christ. Now, I know that the Bible says that there's a sin unto death, and I also know that Jesus talked about a sin that could not be forgiven, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that total rejection of Christ that cannot be forgiven? I think that's what it is. We're talking about something here tonight that's very, very sensitive and delicate and dangerous. And I know so many people that have some churchanity, and they go to church and they've been baptized, but they've never really known Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And they're in danger of hardening their hearts and hardening their conscience until they can no longer hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But we have so many people to think because they've been faithful to the church, or because they've given to the church, or because they've done some good deeds, that they're going to go to heaven. And the Bible plainly says you can't go to heaven by works. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I could work my way to heaven, Christ would never have died on the cross. If I could work my way to heaven, I'd be working from morning till night, all day long. And still it wouldn't be enough, because I have come short of God's glory. And that's why Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty and the price of my sins and gave to me eternal life. And here's an interesting thing that happened when I accepted Christ, and this will happen to you. You can have your conscience resensitized. And your conscience can become the conscience of a little child again. And I don't hold myself up as an example at all of any goodness. But I can tell you this, I can do something like this or like that or like the other thing, and my conscience speaks to me immediately about little things. And I believe that a Christian walks that way, the Holy Spirit speaking through conscience and guiding and directing and instructing. Oh, to have a conscience that is clear of all offense, the Apostle Paul said. To have a clean conscience. Now, the Bible talks about a convicting conscience, and they, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. And of course, that's the story of the woman taken in adultery. Jesus had been teaching, and these Pharisees had brought this woman that they'd caught taking an adultery to Jesus. And they said, Lord, you claim to be a rabbi. You claim to be a great teacher from God. All right. What shall we do? Shall we stone this woman? The law says stone her and kill her. What do you say? And Jesus wrote on the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but I think he wrote the Ten Commandments, and they read the Ten Commandments, and he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. They might not have been guilty of breaking the seventh commandment, but maybe they were guilty of breaking the tenth commandment, or the first commandment, or the third commandment, because not one of those religious leaders could pick up a stone and throw it, because they too were guilty. And the Bible teaches that all have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Now the Bible teaches also that the conscience cannot heal the wound which it inflicts. It cannot wash out the stain of the soul. It cannot undo the past. It cannot cover up your sins. That's not its business. Its business is to convict. It is the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection that saves us from our sins. Christ alone can say to our souls and to our conscience, be still, as he said to the angry sea very long ago. I'm asking you tonight to come to the foot of the cross and find forgiveness of all your past sins. I'm asking you to come to the cross tonight and receive eternal life. I'm asking you to come to the cross tonight while you can still hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Because you see, there's some strange passages in the Bible. It talks about Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. In other words, Ephraim is so taken up with his playthings, God said, leave him alone, don't disturb him, let him have a good time. He's lost. The Bible says, he that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off without remedy. I do not pretend to know all the meaning of those scriptures. I dare not tread beyond the teaching of the Word of God. But I'll tell you, that warning is all the way through the Bible. There's a point in your rejection of Christ or in your neglect of Christ, a point beyond which you cannot go without endangering your eternal soul. I'm going to ask you tonight to surrender to Christ. You say, what do I have to do? It's very, very simple. He just asks you to believe. And that word believe, though, has a lot in it. It means to stand on, to put your trust in and your confidence in. Totally. And it means that you're willing to repent of your sins, which also means a change in your lifestyle, a change in the way you live. From now on, God is first. Not your lust, not your idols, not your work, but God. And Christ becomes the Lord of your life, and you receive him as Lord Jesus Christ.
If you have questions about allowing Jesus Christ to become Lord of your life, please visit us at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
In today's message, Billy Graham explained that your conscience can help you avoid doing things you shouldn't, things that would be dishonoring to God. And that's important, says his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, because there are people watching you.
Who's watching you? Who's observing how you handle your problems and disputes? Your spouse? Your children? A coworker? Often it's someone we don't even know is watching. But you and I can count on the fact that one reason God allows us to have problems is so we can demonstrate to a watching world how we respond. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7 reminds us that our suffering has come so that our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Maybe the person watching is someone you've been talking to about Jesus, and God is giving you the opportunity to show that person the difference Jesus can make in everyday life. What a tragedy if the person were to look at you but didn't see any difference at all. Think about it. Your problems may be a platform on which he can reveal his glory. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Challenging teachings from both Ann Graham Lotz and her dad, Billy Graham, as well as thoughtful insight from Fox News commentator Todd Starnes. You can listen back to it anytime you like. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD of this edition of Peace with God. The number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. The call and the CD are both free.
Next week on Peace with God, Billy Graham explores the nature of our Heavenly Father.
God is not waiting to judge you and condemn you. God loves you. He's waiting to receive you with mercy and love.
Be sure to join us for next week's edition of Peace with God. Would you consider coming alongside the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in its work to share the message of Jesus Christ both here and around the world? You can through your prayers and your financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Donate. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. I'm Bill Meyer, and thanks so much for being with us today for this edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.